From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Every day, thousands of personal histories are created in La Crosse. People take a risk and start a business, couples fall in love, and historical buildings are torn down. As a way to document these stories, a UW-La Crosse professor has proposed the project Hear Hear. People walking around the downtown area will be able to call a phone number and listen to those stories from the places they occurred. Here today to talk about the Hear Hear project are Ariel Bougeau. She's a UW-La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history and the director and producer of Hear Hear, and Mark Mankey. He works at UW-La Crosse's Murphy Library and is the art director and marketing coordinator for Hear Hear. Ariel, I'm wondering if you can just first talk about the inspiration behind the Hear Hear project. Why do we need this in La Crosse?
We need this because we have a lot of stories of La Crosse. We have stories of the founding of La Crosse by Nathan Myrick. We have the stories of the Hixsons. We have the stories of the lumber barons, and the stories of the major stores that used to be in downtown. But what we don't have is our stories, the everyday stories that people tell about their city. And that's what I'm trying to bring out with Hear Hear.
And that's interesting that you say that, because we have some really great walking tours that you can really dive in and you can really learn about the history of La Crosse. But as you say, it's more kind of the elite of La Crosse, and bringing out those stories about, you know, everyday folks is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. There is work being done in that area, right? And at the oral history program at UWL does that work. So some of that will be brought into the Hear Hear project. So some of the oral histories of people who have passed or people who have just told stories about downtown will end up in the public as well. So that's kind of nice. It'll be available more than just at the library.
And Mark, what are your thoughts on just these everyday stories that need to come to the forefront more?
You know, we all hear, like you said, the stories of the founders, the famous La Crosse community members. But, you know, as someone who's grown up here, like all the stories I've been hearing that have come out of this project are, you know, just they're fascinating. They're different. They're never heard. And it's something to think like, okay, this really is actually happening in La Crosse, this kind of strange mixture, you know, and it's just really exciting.
And Ariel, you were inspired to start this project from a similar one that had been created in Toronto a while ago. I'm wondering if you can tell people about
that. Yeah, sure. This was a project called Murmur that started in Toronto, which is my hometown. I'm Canadian. it was started by a man named Sean McAuliffe about 11 years ago. It's since retired, but the structure's still there, right? So there's a sign in downtown. You pass that sign. There's a phone number on it. You call that phone number, and you hear a story. And it's a first-person narrative, just somebody saying, you know, when I lived here, I experienced this.
I'm wondering if you can give some examples of maybe stories within Murmur that stick out to you.
Oh, Murmur stories. I love a story, and I want a story for Hear Hear that talks about falling in love on a certain bench. I love that one. What else? There's a series of stories about a very important music venue. That's a series, right? So it used to be just one story, and then people added to it and added to it, and that's something that we'll do for Hear Hear too. After you call the story, after you hear the story, you'll have the option to record your own story about that space or another space, and there will be a board of directors that will choose stories that we'll add as we go along with the project.
So yeah, I guess we should maybe lay out exactly what Hear Hear will do. There will be signs placed around different areas around the downtown area. And then, yeah, there'll be a phone number on there that you can call.
Yeah, the signs will indicate a story. And then there'll be a phone number. You call that phone number and you hear the story of that space. It'll say, you know, we're at 5th and Main and such and such a story, right? And then if you press pound, you can leave your own story.
And Mark, can you talk about your work involved in this project?
So with this project, we're talking about building this really big visual presence, you know, these signs that are going to be around and signal that the story's coming up. So we really wanted to focus on, you know, making signs that people are going to notice and be around and want to, you know, signal that there's this really great story here that you've never heard before. And part of my job is doing that and bringing that sign out and seeing what we can do.
Do you have any ideas for the signs yet, or is that still a work in progress?
We finalized the signs. We're working with a local sign company to get those done. We're focusing on this kind of mixture between like historical radio graphics, you know, some of those really old, lots of circles in them, you know, like the old electrified sort of imagery, and but also bringing that idea of place, because that's the huge thing about this, is that you're hearing these stories in place, and we're bringing in elements of maps and buildings and cartography a little bit to really signal that mixture between story and place.
We'll be unveiling that imagery at the ArtSpire event here in La Crosse.
Oh, neat. Mm-hmm. And along with the signs, there will also be an online presence as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You maybe have seen two or three of them or listened to a story out in the public and you want to hear the rest of them, because we are going to have event. When we launch the project, we're going to have 30 stories in the downtown area. People are going to be able to interact with that website and hear some of those stories they might not find. And then eventually, as the project grows, we're going to keep adding to that presence.
And you'll be creating a nice, beautiful map to accompany the website.
There'll also be, you know, print media. One thing that Murmur found was that, sure, it can be like Easter egg hunting, right? You're walking around and you see, oh my gosh, yeah, that's wonderful. Here's a story. But you could also do a more formalized tour, right? Mm-hmm. And so we'll have, Mark will create pamphlets, postcards that will indicate story spaces in case you're more interested in doing a formalized tour rather than just happening upon a sign.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Hear Hear, an upcoming oral history project that will collect personal stories focused around different locations in La Crosse. My guests are Ariel Beaujeau. She's director and producer of Hear Hear, and she's a UW La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history. And Mark Mankey, he works at UW La Crosse's Murphy Library and is the art director and marketing coordinator for Hear Hear. So, Ariel, what kind of stories are you looking for the Hear Hear project?
We've got a couple of stories on the go, and then I'd like Mark to tell a story that I want in the in the piece. Ha ha. So, exactly. Okay, so there's one that I love that's by Chris Callow, who's the woman who owns the coffee shop on Pearl Street. There used to be row houses on 6th and Main, and when she knew that those would be torn down, she did a protest. So she went to Kroner's and she grabbed a chain and she went down and she chained herself to the building in order to make a statement about its demolition, right? She didn't think that it should be torn down, and it has been. It was for kind of lower income, and now it's one of the highest income housing in La Crosse, right? It's these condos. So that will be a story. I love that story. And another story that's coming out of the oral history is a story by Gustav Winter, who was born in 1888. So he's long past, but he, as a child, used to deliver packages to the women of the night on Pearl Street. Again, a Pearl Street story. They used to buy things around downtown, and then it was his job to deliver the packages. So that speaks to, you know, this forgotten history of downtown actually having a red light district, and how the river was so important for entertainment and for work, so that men would stop on the river and then come into town. And one of the things that was important, because they were so far away from their sweethearts and possibly wives, was that there would be a red light district in town.
And I think another really good thing about that story is it talks about this La Crosse resident who was, you know, a kid, his family was poor, and he was supporting them by doing this, by running errands for the brothels, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just...
I love his story. The other thing that's wonderful about that story to me is that just really casually in the story, he says... he talks about now, of course, we don't have brothels. Now prostitution's on the street. And I don't know how much of that there is currently in La Crosse, but he talks about, you know, it was safer for women in these spaces, and it's not as safe anymore. Police knew where to go to protect women, and now, because it's dispersed, that's not the case anymore.
Sure.
So he says that as an adult. It's an interesting observation of his because of his experience from the 19th century and or early 20th century in La Crosse.
So, Mark, are you sharing one of your stories?
No.
Hear, hear?
like Ariel said before, she loves these stories about people, you know, falling in love. Mm-hmm. And my parents grew up here. They're going to hate me for telling this. But when my dad proposed to my mother, they went, he had told my mother that they were going downtown and they were going to go and buy a washer and dryer, you know, and so they drove down and walked, like started walking towards it. And instead he pulled up to the jewelry store, you know, and that was a story. And I remember telling Ariel this and she's like, this is what I want. I want one of these stories, you know, people falling in love, people, you know, it's not this big thing. It's not this historical event. It's these stories that are very, you know, they can be sweet. They can be sad. They can be, you know, kind of grungy, kind of dirty, you know, things that you don't maybe want publicized, but also these things that people should really hear about a space, to hear that people are living in it and making histories and making stories for people.
So are you going to convince your parents to record their story?
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can.
Would you take someone like Mark, would you take a secondhand account of a story for this project?
That is not how we're going to run things. So there will be some exceptions to that, but in general, I want first-person narrative. Okay. That's how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But there's some very important historical stories, right? So for something like that, you might have an anthropologist who has done a dig in La Crosse, downtown, and has some things to say about Native American history, right? Mm-hmm. Based on the dig that they did. So you might have something like that, but that will still be, in some ways, first-person narrative.
It won't be actors maybe reading newspaper accounts.
No, none of that. So it's not a historical placard on read out. Yeah, it's our own stories, our stories of La Crosse. Now, I think possibly some of the oral histories are a bit... Some are better than others. So some of those, they're still first-person narratives, but we might have them read out if they're difficult to listen to or if they're too quiet.
Like if the quality is
Important. Yeah, so in that case. So we'll make – there will be a couple exceptions, but in general, we want them to be first-person narrative.
So why is it important for all of us to remember these stories that, you know, maybe small in the grand scheme of things, but very significant to these individuals? Mm-hmm.
It's such a good question. I'm never good at answering this one. Do you have anything?
I think for me, it's about humanizing the space. It's about making downtown feel like people live there, people had an effect, people were a part of this community. You know, we were saying before, we have these really great stories about these people who had big effects on the community and did all of this wonderful stuff, but we don't have the stories of the person maybe working the corner store or the person, you know, who delivers the mail. We want those stories of people who lived in a space, cared about a space, and, you know, have that attachment. You know, this is our community, and that's the story we want to tell. We want to tell people's stories and our story.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Here, Here, an upcoming oral history project that will collect personal stories focused around different locations in La Crosse. My guests are Mark Mankey. He's the art director and marketing coordinator for Here, Here and works at UW-La Crosse's Murphy Library. And Ariel Bajot. She's director and producer of Here, Here and UW-La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history. So where exactly does library research come into play? Because as you said, you want to find these personal narratives. Obviously, there are some oral histories in the library, but how will Murphy Library be working with this project?
Over the summer, we're going to, like you said, we have this large collection of oral histories that's been, you know, produced through UWL and been collected. And we have two researchers, Terry Telp and Sue Hessel, am I saying that right, who are going to be going through and finding that information. You know, this is a historical project, so we do have to have that kind of academic side to it and make sure that we have these good stories that are linked to the place. And I think in the main reason the library is involved is to provide that resource, provide that kind of that archive. We're also working with the La Crosse Public Library as well to find stories. You know, these little pockets of resources are kind of held in libraries and they don't get brought up unless you are a historian or someone working in these kind of academic traditions, you know, so bringing that out and showing the public would be great.
I had heard Chris Callow's story from somebody, but it turned out there was something in the Tribune about it, right? So I searched that out. It was finally, it was the people, Anita Doring at the at the Archives of the Public Library that found it for me and sent it to me, right? So that sort of background research will be important to be able to ask the questions to get the stories that we want. Also, I'm teaching a course. This is how it will be structured. So in September, from September until December, and then from January until May, I'll be teaching a set of courses where students and I will be putting together this project. And one thing that will be very important is that they get background research on whatever story they want to tell. So at ArtSpire, for example, we'll have forms for people to fill out if they like to tell a story. And then the students will take that and do some research, right, at Murphy, at the Public Library, at the archives of both, find out more about it so that they can structure a good oral history interview to get the story out that they want. The other trick about this is we'd like the stories to be recorded in space, right? So you will be standing at 6th and Main, mm-hmm. And doing that interview. And so you'll hear the cars that are going by and that sort of thing. And that way it's a bit guerrilla. and then it'll be uploaded. So that means that you'll hear your own sounds when you're in that space and the sounds from the recording. So you'll be in time and in this kind of pastime. I like that idea.
Do you have the spaces picked out, or will the spaces and where the signs go depend on the stories collected?
Definitely depend on the stories.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we won't put a sign where there's not a story. So we'll collect stories and then we'll put 30 signs up at the initial rollout.
Ariel, going back to, you mentioned the class that you'll be teaching this fall and also in the spring of 2015. And this is interesting because the class itself, it's not just UW La Crosse students, community members can also take this class too. So can you talk about integrating both worlds in collecting stories yeah. and also just the academic element behind all of this?
Okay, so two questions. Integrating, I used to teach, I've taught many places, but one of the last place that I taught was in a location that had that didn't have a university for a long time. So my students were often my own age, and I'm 35 years old. So they were often my own age. So I'm used to working with people that are around my age and that I'm working on the same level with, rather than the system that's more often set up in an institution like this one, where the professors are older and the students are younger, and the students look up to the professors and ask them, well, how do I do this? How do I do this? When you integrate students that are younger and students that are from the community, what you'll have is a full integration, right? So the students that are older will know what sort of community foundations will need to get grants from, for example, and then the students from UWL can learn from that process, right? We together will learn how to write grants, for example, but there's that kind of foundation of knowledge that I can pair with our UWL students that are just learning this sort of stuff. And they'll learn what kind of depth of knowledge is needed for creating a project like this. So I think the community members are key here. And it will create a more democratic classroom rather than a classroom that's hierarchical and more typical.
And Mark, I imagine as someone who grew up here, mm-hmm. being able to bring in that potentially historic knowledge, and you know, a lot of the students that come to UW La Crosse, they're from all over Wisconsin, Minnesota, may mm-hmm. not know much about the history of this city. You know, you're in your little UW La Crosse bubble.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to be taking the class in the fall.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really excited. For me, I come from an art background. You know, I'm a designer. So to learn these kind of different skills of storytelling, not so much like the visual side of it, to learn how to, you know, find these stories, research them really thoroughly, find that, you know, working with public organizations and granting in this like historical context is something that's really interesting to me. But also, like you said, pairing it with my personal history and my connections to this town, like I am very much like I'm from La Crosse. I take great pride in being from the Cooley region, you know, and
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how that like works where, you know, if we have someone from Green Bay or if we have someone mm-hmm. from, you know, all these different towns around the state and in Minnesota and stuff, and how that's going to, what their devotion to this place is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Are there still seats available in the
yes,
class?
Yes, there's
the
still seats okay. available. And we want more community members.
Yes.
Oh, and it's going to take place in downtown Main Street, Inc.
Oh, the class itself.
Yeah,
well.
It's going to, okay. yeah. So in their boardroom, because then we're in the space that we're studying. We're also just two blocks from the public library where we'll do research.
The location?
Oh, right. And it's on Wednesday nights in the evening, so 5:30, starting at 5:30.
And if people do want to sign up who are not UW La Crosse students, do they contact
Continuing Education and Extension?
At UWL, yes.
Okay.
And we've made it as affordable as possible. We've cut the tuition down by about half of what it regularly is, because we really want community members involved.
And if you want if people want to take the spring class, the fall class is a prerequisite.
They need to take both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they need to take both.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Here, Here, an upcoming oral history project that will collect personal stories focused around different locations in La Crosse. My guests are Ariel Beaujeau. She's director and producer of Here, Here, and a UW La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history. And Mark Mankey. He works at UW La Crosse's Murphy Library and is art director and marketing coordinator for Here, Here. So you mentioned grants before. Is a project like this, how do you get funding? How much money is needed? I know you had to work with the city in order to make this happen. So
Yeah. So I've applied for 5 grants. I think I've gotten 3 so far. The biggest one that I've applied for is the Wisconsin Humanities Council major grant. So that's what we're working towards first. I guess what I initially was working towards, and then wrote a number of other ones. So there's that one. There's a community foundation grant for La Crosse. There was a provost grant that was a community foundation grant here at UWL. There was a history grant, a public history grant, and then a technology grant.
So it's all grant funded.
Yeah, it's all grant funded. Yeah, yeah. So far,
yeah,
it's
so
grant
far.
Funded. Yeah, and then as things come up. And we need more, we'll talk to community organizations possibly. But for now, if I get all these grants, it can run. For the first 18 months, it will run without needing more funding.
Do you hope that this expands over time? I know you're starting with 30 stories, 30 signs. I mean, do you have benchmarks as to how much it could grow each year?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, we'll roll out with 30, and then we have another 60 signs that will be ordered as part of the initial grant, I guess. Mm-hmm. So those will come out. I'm viewing this as a 5-year project, and then we can continue it on if we want to. So those 30 will be, spread out over the next 4 years after it launches.
Do you want to move into other neighborhoods beyond downtown?
Yeah, that was something we've been talking about, is where do we kind of determine where that's going to go? Do we do, South Side? Do we do North Side? Do we do Goosetown? Do we think about all those different neighborhoods? And it's been interesting. And I think where we find stories will end up dictating that. And Ariel might have more to say about that.
I would like to pair up with community organizations that would like to have here in different areas, right? So I won't always be teaching this class. There won't be enough students, probably. So I would like to run it as a community effort with the executive council of here that Mark's on and various other people are on, to train people to continue the project on. So that's how it happened in Toronto. It was initially something done in quite a gritty neighborhood in Toronto. And then it was like, oh, it works. So the city started to hire them to the Murmur people to do different neighborhoods. So there's various different ways that it can be done, but I'm hoping that we can make a connection with community groups in order to continue it on in different areas.
And what about people who want to share their stories, that they think they have something great to share with the community? How do they get in contact with you all?
Well, we're going to, at ArtSpire, we'll have a form for people to fill out. Also at ArtSpire, we're launching our Facebook page. So we can get that information through the Facebook page. Or you could email me, abeaujeau@uwlax.edu.
And we can put a link up on our website.
Great. Yeah. So you can email me a story. And we'll have some statements about the sort of stories that we're looking for and what, because I want people to envision what it is that others will learn from their story about that space.
If people's stories don't necessarily take place in the downtown area, do you still want them to share it? So if it does expand in the future, or just stick to downtown at this point in time?
we're basically a year off of when we are launching this. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to stick to downtown for now. Mm-hmm. If people send me other stories, I will file them. but who knows when those other projects will come up.
Ariel Beaujeau is an assistant professor of history at UW-La Crosse and director and producer of the Here Here oral history class and project that starts next fall and will focus on the stories of downtown La Crosse. Mark Mankey is the art director and marketing coordinator for Here Here and works in UW-La Crosse's Murphy Library. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.